All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? It's another day. Another dollar, I guess.
Dirty dollar.
Sure. Barry, Nick, Joel, all present and accounted for. Usual Suspects till 4 right here on ESPN 97.5. Still all kinds of talk swirling about yesterday's news. But hey, let's face the facts. There's more going on. The Stros are about to take the diamond, and first pitch is right around the corner as they try and take another series, this time from the Oakland A's. What else you got?
Well, I'm happy to report that...
Oh, the toilet?
The toilet is shimmed.
With pennies?
In place. No, not with pennies. I went and bought some toilet shims from the depot yesterday after work. And shimmed it and turned the water on. And it is, we have go for liftoff. It is flushing. There are no leaks. So,
last time you're going to fix a toilet on your own?
No, I'll just be more prepared.
You're better versed at it now.
For a cracked flange and an elevated bowl, I guess would be the, I don't know, kind of like you with the, it's elevated.
Yeah.
The bush.
Yeah.
This is, yeah. So, this is in. It's, we're good. Now I just gotta, I gotta make sure that I'm gonna give it about 20 or 30 flushes. You know what I mean? Just, I gave it a couple this morning just cause I haven't used it yet. I'm still, I just want to just flush regular water. Cause if it does leak, I don't need
you
that hassle.
You don't want any boo-boo skirt?
No.
Squirt?
I just need regular water leaking if it's going to leak. So, yeah. So,
fingers crossed.
Yeah. It probably won't be until this weekend that we call it done, but okay. We're 90% there. So Plumber Barry, 3 days to replace a wax ring. That's pretty sad.
Did you deal with the plumber's crack?
I was just going to ask that.
No. The pants stayed up. You know, just took a while.
Okay.
That's all. Good. I mean, honestly though, all told, like the amount of minutes in this is like 90. It's just spread over 3 days because I didn't have everything I needed and I got throwed by the cracked flange and everything, but we're good now. I feel like a man again. I feel like a
dude. You're not like a man until you change a shower curtain. Then
just,
you're
just
then
changed
you're
mine.
Doing something.
What's got a
the,
brand new one?
What's the manliest thing you've done around the house, Joel? What's the manliest thing you've done?
Lots of stuff. I mean,
well,
I've
like
fixed,
name one.
I mean, I'm trying to think. I've fixed the water heater. I've fixed the.
What did you do?
I mean, me and my buddy actually took out the old water heater and
you replaced it?
And replaced it.
It's not bad.
Yeah. My buddy and I also replaced the tank on one of the toilets.
Okay.
In my house.
Okay.
Not to Nick's extent, I would imagine, but I've done some car things. And, you know, just fix
well,
it around
I've noticed
the house.
A theme a couple times on those. You said my buddy and I. So are you bringing in help?
If I can get it, I'm never going to shy away from getting it. There's plenty I do on my own, but look, I know if there's someone that's an expertise or has done it more than me, come on down.
Because I feel like I'm being real when I come in and say I watched another man do my brake job and I felt like less of a man. Joel's like, well, me and my buddy replaced the water heater.
But
now, how much of it was you just watching your buddy replace
hands
the water
were
heater?
Dirty, okay. You know, doing a lot. Okay. You know, doing a lot of the dirty work as part of it, I'm always participatory. But if I can get help, I ain't turning it down.
I don't blame you.
If someone's already done, you know. But there's plenty of stuff around the house that I do. I've retextured drywall.
Okay.
And repainted. You know, lots of stuff, especially in our house.
So. All right. Very good. And we know Nick has none of those skills, so we won't even
Nick
bother.
Changed the toilet paper roll.
We won't even.
I can put together any.
You go over the top or up under on the toilet paper? Is it you pull down or pull out? Which one?
Does it
That's a legit question, Nick. Answer.
I think it's a pull. I think it's I pull down. I think
you go over the top with the
I think
roll.
So.
I think that's the correct way
to go. Yeah.
My wife used to go up under, and she said that that was how. And then she read like on in Glamour magazine that most people will tell you that it's supposed to go over the top. So she changed her thinking.
So let me get this straight. So your wife used to go down under, but the proper way is to go over the top.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just verifying it.
I see what you're doing, but no, it has.
I'm just asking. It came out of your mouth.
It has to deal with the toilet paper, Joel. Stop making everything about sex. We see who the culprit is
on
this show.
Me.
We see who the culprit is.
From this guy. Me. So I was thinking that there were things that people want to discuss and people that might not like what we say. So I was just going to give out your cell phone today.
Like Jimmy Butler?
Yeah.
I mean,
how about that?
I mean, you can, but you're just going to make me have to go get a new cell phone number.
Just the most bizarre thing ever. If you missed it, at the Mall of Americas, they had the press conference to welcome Jimmy Butler to Minnesota. And in the middle of it, there were questions that were getting a tad bit into, you know, maybe getting a little personal with Jimmy in terms of, you know, his opinions, what went down, how everything went. And he basically said, hey, if you got anything you want to discuss with me, bring it up to me. Here's my cell phone number. And a reporter instantaneously, as he was given the digits, looked it up on his phone and went, yep, that's his number.
That's pretty good. I'm going to give you Nick's number right now. You ready?
Yeah, let's just get it over the
281-451. Yeah. Look at his face. I wouldn't start that war, Nick. Don't worry. That's not a war I want to have.
Yeah,
because that could easily...
Who can ruin each other in public? That's... I mean, you know, it's not a war we need to have. But that is crazy. I imagine, though, the next move was to head on down to the T-Mobile or whatever and get
a
new number.
You would hope?
I'm sure of it, right?
Yeah, there's no way. So there are people calling, texting. He's getting all kinds of pictures and stuff. I bet you he's... Yeah, that wasn't a good move.
No, and it's very Mike Jones-ish, by the way. You know what I mean? Do you know Mike Jones's number? I know you know.
281, was it? What was it? What did he say? He goes
330-8004.
Dang, you remembered it.
I like that song.
That was a pretty good song.
Hit Mike Jones up on the low because Mike Jones about to blow.
And that was his 15 minutes of fame.
That's right. Now and then he got busted for sex trafficking, was it?
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No. I did not.
Mike Jones got busted for sex trafficking.
Say what?
I didn't know it was sex trafficking. I knew he was
in
trouble.
I'm pretty sure it was sex trafficking.
I hope you're right.
I know that our listeners, the brothers out there, will correct me because they'll know more than the whites. Let's be real. White guys aren't going to know about Mike Jones.
That's not nice.
That's true. Mike Jones. No, white dudes don't know about Mike Jones.
Coming up on the Blitz, AJ and JT discuss.
Look, Mike Jones, I'm going to Google Mike Jones sex trafficking, and I bet you.
Does it suggest it for you?
No, it says now Mike Jones proves he's not a human trafficker. So it was a human trafficking, which I think is the same thing, right?
Is sex trafficking
and human trafficking the same?
I
or are you just
want to say yes? I think, yeah.
I don't know.
That's a. So yeah, it says it was reported several times on the internet that they had busted him for that, but then he has apparently in this article he proves that it was false. So. I knew that was an issue, though. I knew it came up.
That's terrible. You know what I mean? I can't believe people would even get into that. Because I actually like the three or four songs that made him famous, but whatever.
Right.
It just makes you think differently of him, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Somebody texted that growing up with their dad, they built a barn. That's pretty manly.
See, so my best friend, who was my best man at my wedding, he's Hawaiian. And he and his brother, they both live in Portland now. Those two dudes... Like, with very little sketches to it, like even a blueprint, they build, like, back decks, like, and stain them, and they come out looking like a pro did it. They build all that stuff. I'm like, I don't know how the hell y'all do all that, but if you ever want to come out to the house when you're bored and build a deck, we could probably put one somewhere, and it would look nice. But out in Oregon, and especially when you got, like, the two-story ones, and you got to put, like, the foundation on the bottom and all that... Dude, I was like, man, I'm amazed at that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I can build like a basic square, you know, couple rafters, not rafters, whatever the hell they're called. I don't know what the hell they're called. They're the stuff you nail the decking to. What would those be called?
Wouldn't that be like a foundation?
No, that you don't nail base? To the foundation. I don't know what the hell they're called.
That's not like house foundation.
I don't believe you fix your toilet anymore.
Because I don't know what it would be called that you nail the deck to. Well, I know that's you set like the four. No, that's concrete. You set four.
That's like
I don't know what
up.
The hell it's called. I got to look it up now. Our beams. The beams.
Yeah, that's right.
That you nailed the decking to. Yeah.
So that sounds right.
This is the worst home improvement show on the planet. Could you imagine if Joel and I had it? All right, now here's how you replace a light switch. So you got to you turn these thingies this way, all right? And I think it's lefty-loosey. I'm not sure.
You guys
so
will cause fires all over the country.
You turn these things. Then you take this thing and you push this, and then you want to connect this thing. And then these things over here.
And if it doesn't fasten right, this stuff called Gorilla Glue is going to really make sure it doesn't go anywhere.
Do we turn the electricity off? I don't know, dude. It doesn't matter. It's not working, right? If it's not working, that means there's no electricity. Okay, oh my God! That would be Joel and I doing a home improvement show. It'd be terrible.
Yeah, but then we'd make sure if you want to sponsor the show, you know how to reach us. And then we just let them do it. By the way, if you want to call Jimmy Butler, 773-899-6071. I've heard he's not answering. But if you want to call the show, we're here till 4 o'clock. 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. You can call and you can text. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at The Producer Nick, at Barry Is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're the usual suspects. And we'll be back with more on ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. The day after Chris Paul trade goes through.
I have some cleanup real quick.
Okay.
A couple things. Yeah, the Mike Jones human trafficking, I can confirm, was a hoax actually done by TMZ, which surprises me.
They got it wrong?
Yeah, because TMZ really? Usually gets it right, but he came out and said, no, this is a hoax. It's wrong. And then I've seen several articles since then where he cleared his name and talked to the San Antonio police and all
that. Well, good. Now I like you again, Mike Jones.
Yeah. Ohefe said a guy named Mike Jones did get caught, but it wasn't him. And then we got this text that said Mike Jones got slapped by Trey the Truth. His career went downhill after that. That might have been true. And so that's all I had to do for my claim. Oh, and those what you nailed the decking to are called joists. That was several.
That one I never would have got.
Several thousand texts. I knew, but I didn't know. I forgot joists. And somebody said trusses, but that's different. But yeah, it's joists. So screwed that up. And that's sad when you used to be a carpenter and can't remember that. That's not good. All right, sorry. Cleared up.
Okay. The crazy thing to me is the aftermath after this trade, this Chris Paul trade. Bill Plaschke in L.A. going out and really trying to over-exploit how Chris Paul was not liked in their locker room, how it was time for him to go, how Austin Rivers was at the crux of it, that the minute that Chris Paul's good friend Carmelo Anthony couldn't come to the Clippers because Doc Rivers refused to trade his son as part of the deal, got Chris Paul sideways. And other rumors that are out there about how he and Blake didn't get along, he and DeAndre didn't get along, that kind of they needed to do something. And then on the flip side, everybody wondering, did they get the Rockets give up too much? Are they done? Is there more to do? Is this team a contender as it sits? Look, I mean, the bottom line is they made an attempt to be more relevant, to compete. You know, Daryl said in his press conference last night, you know, you either are in the arms race and are competing within it, or you're on the sidelines watching. They're trying to be in it. So you got to give them credit for that. But if they don't do anything else, do they have enough? And my answer to that would be no.
To beat the Warriors, no.
Yeah.
a theme that keeps coming up, and I've seen this, and, you know, far be it for me to want to repeat what everyone else is talking about, but a texter did ask, Julian from Spring asked, are they the best backcourt now in the NBA? And I saw this on First Take, and there were split, you know what I mean? Which, by the way, First Take without Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, it's awful.
And Max Kellerman is just as bad as First Take with Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman.
It's worse, man.
It's just bad. I mean, First Take in general is just not
my thing.
What's the
white guy's name, Chris?
I don't know. John Sally was on there.
With John Sally, I was going to say, but this Chris guy tries to be controversial, and he's just awful at it.
I don't mind John Sally, though.
No,
John Sally doesn't talk enough.
Sally wasn't bad. I mean,
I like
you know,
John Sally. So.
He was actually the one that came out and said, yeah, this is the best backcourt in the NBA. And the guy was like, that's ridiculous. You don't know what you're talking about. This and that. No, you're not. Just because it's on paper, which they had Herm Edwards on there talking about it too. And he was the same thing. It's on paper. We'll have to see. And the guy was like, absolutely not. You don't know what you're talking about. Sally was like, look, man, I don't do this very often and I make it a point not to. But only dude at this table that ever played in the NBA. Is me. Only dude that's ever done anything in the NBA is me. I've forgotten more about basketball than any of you combined will ever know. Like, he went off, and he was like, so when I tell you that this makes it the best backcourt in the NBA, I know what I'm talking about. I was like,
I love
damn!
Love it.
Okay, Sally, I see you. I don't know that I agree with Sally, but he felt strongly about it. So I was kind of curious what you thought. I mean, both of you.
About the show in general?
No. About the best backcourt in the NBA.
I mean, at first glance with you saying, and I'm trying to think of other backcourts that can compete like that, and you have to start in Golden State, depending on where you
put. Most people do, yeah.
Yeah, Curry and Thompson, that's pretty salty.
I think that would be number one.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that'll give Harden and Paul a run for their money, and mostly because Curry's still not to that point where he's even at the highlight of his career, whereas Chris Paul might be a little bit on the downside.
Yeah. But it's hard to argue against Curry and Thompson. That's real hard.
Yeah.
What about Beal and Wall in Washington?
They have always been argued as the up and coming incumbents and the best young backcourt in the NBA, or one of them. I would probably give them best backcourt in the East.
Okay.
Okay.
Over LeBron and Kyrie Irving?
I mean, I don't think LeBron's a two.
Well, and this was what they were talking about on the show, which I tend to agree with. Whoever brings the ball up, that's a guard. I mean, LeBron and Kyrie are bringing that ball up. You know what I mean? It's the same. Like, just because Harden or whatever isn't necessarily bringing the ball up in this new offense, or if he doesn't, it doesn't mean he's not. You know what I mean?
I don't think that's going to happen. Right? You don't think Harden's going to try and make a point and say, hey, I can bring the ball up the court too? You don't think that's going to happen?
I mean, it will. I think what you're going to see is, depending on where they are in the game, if they're needing to run, then I think, yeah, for sure Harden's bringing the ball up. If they need to run an offense, I think Chris Paul. If they need to come in and set an offense up in a half-court situation, I think that's Chris Paul. But if they need to run a break or they're coming down, you know, on something like that, I think that's more James Harden thing.
I would say this. You now don't have to hold your breath every time Harden sits down. You know, every time Harden sat down last year, you realized that a 9-point lead would probably be closer to a 2-point lead, or it would be a deficit. Whereas that's where Chris Paul will really take the reins. But I think that because their system is predicated on, once the rebound is secure, whoever's got it goes with it, that both guys are going to spend some time with the ball, and both guys are going to spend some time off the ball. But I think because they push it so much and it's so up-tempo, it doesn't matter as much who's got their hands on the ball when they bring it up the court. But to Barry's point, when they're going to try to run something structured, the more important thing is you have a leader now. You've got a guy that's not afraid to make any decision or take any shot, and he is going to be the guy that keeps them all in line. Whereas sometimes when James's stuff wasn't going and he wasn't comfortable because he was missing shots, he would disappear more so than he would distribute.
Yeah, and like you said... and that was kind of what my initial thought was on the trade, is it's now you've always got a floor general on the court, whether it's Harden or Paul, you know, whether they're together, but I have a feeling they're going to be on the court separately a lot as well. But you've always got a guy that can run the offense. So there isn't going to be, I think there'll be more situations where they're not on the floor together running the offense than there are deciding who's going to run it. You know what I mean? Because there'll be that beginning and then the end. Here's but the that's thing. That middle chunk of the game where one could be resting and the other one isn't.
I heard too many times over the last couple years about James saying, I need help. And whenever things went wrong, James saying, I need help, instead of looking in the mirror. Chris Paul's going to be the guy that brings the mirror in front of his locker. But as long as James realizes, I'm dealing with a Hall of Famer. I'm dealing with one of the best point guards of all time. And it's not a bad thing when he keeps me in check or checks me to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing to follow along with what we are telling everybody else to be doing. That could be a very, very good thing. But if James gets sideways about it, it could go south in a hurry. That's where I said it's going to take some time. There's going to be a feeling out process. But if those guys can always be on the same page, then it should be a win-win regardless. Because you're adding talent and you're adding leadership, which is what James has been lacking. He lacks that leadership gene, and maybe he'll never get it. But now he's got a guy that takes that heat off of him a little bit.
It's a great point about the mirror. And that's what, when people were asking me early on, you know, what is this a good thing for the Rockets? It's going to depend on James, like I said yesterday.
And I agree.
It's going to depend on him. If he's happy during the middle of the season, then this is a great trade. But it's his attitude. I mean, we've seen that, right? Year after year with Howard and without Howard. It's going to all be predicated on his attitude.
And we can get into it, too. I did look up, and I sent it. I don't know if you saw it, but Chris Paul is eligible without having to be on the roster. He is eligible for the max extension of $205 million. From the Rockets.
Right, because he opted in. He flexed that option. If he hadn't,
he doesn't have to be on. But the thing was, is why this entire deal was able to be pulled off was because they did it now. And now means it's still on last year's collective bargaining agreement before the new one kicks in. So that means that the Rockets actually saved money by doing it now versus later, where they would have probably had to come up with more assets and the cap would have gone up and his contract would have gone up, all these different things. So Daryl knows what he's doing from a salary cap standpoint. Man, there's absolutely no doubt about it. He knows every little idiosyncrasy and every way that he can get an advantage, which is what a lot of general managers lack. That's why I say when ex-players get into GM jobs, they better have a really good capologist go with them. Because these are the kind of things that give him a leg up, regardless of his drafts and all the other things. That's what makes him a step above everybody else. So we can continue to talk about that. We got plenty of things to talk about. Stros are on TV right now. They're actually in the for our boy Josh Reddick, after talking to us, was hot as hell last night. And even got robbed of a home run.
Well, I think
he just got robbed at the wall. Someone brought one back.
I think we proved that we're good luck.
Yeah, he better know
that's
that.
The deal.
He better know that and come back.
Of course.
Right now, I want to tell you guys about Gallery Furniture. Gallery, always been a mainstay in Houston for the last 36 plus years. If you need furniture, people go to Gallery Furniture. They see Mac on TV. Now they see his daughters and his family. But at the same time, what they do know is when you go to Gallery Furniture, you get solid wood American made furniture. You get quality service after the sale. You get delivery the same day. And you make sure that you get what you're looking for. It's good furniture that's going to last at a good quality price from really good people that are there to make sure you're happy. Gallery Furniture now with three locations across the Houston area, Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, in the heart of the Galleria at Westheimer and Post Oak, and of course the mainstay I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Max sits at the front desk. He'll put you in the hands of his capable sales staff, and he'll make sure that they help you find what you're looking for, and then after you pick out what you like, you get it the same day within 3 to 4 hours of the time you purchase it. There's no back order slips, and you'll be pleased with what you have. They'll help you move out what you want to get rid of, and they'll always take care of you before, during, and after the sale. If the Astros win it all at the end of the year, right now the deal is you spend $3,000 or more, you get the furniture for free if the Astros take it all. There's all those details on galleryfurniture.com. But in the meantime, stop by one of the three locations. Tell them that Joel Blank at ESPN 97.5 sent you, and make sure you realize that Gallery always will save you money.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Joel, Nick, and Barry, till 4, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We continue to roll on. We can get some Jeff Van Gundy audio for you at some point, because our favorite grandfather was one of the few, the proud, that had Jeff Van Gundy on, and he had some thoughts on the Chris Paul trade. But before that, we should probably do a little housekeeping, Bear.
So a couple things. Ike said, I'm just glad we don't have to see any more whack-ass Paul Jordan State Farm commercials.
And you will. They're not going away because they're not on the same team. Think about that.
Really?
Damon Lillard was in those commercials. He's a Blazer.
Well, that's true. I have a feeling, though, they'll probably want to sign up Harden now, right? Paul and Harden.
Well, then you better see Chris Paul pumping gummy beards and changing from CP3 brand Jordan to Adidas.
You think? I mean, they don't have to be buddies to do that.
Let's just find more Cliff Paul.
That's true.
You know, the Argyle sweater is underrated.
Yeah. Beer Man Greg said, are y'all getting any rain over there? The Golden Triangle is about to float away. No, I mean, I got a little bit coming in, not a ton.
Here.
If you're, if the rain is affecting you though, Beer Man Greg, you can check out the app.
For sure.
I don't know. Sometimes I guess the rain can jack up the signal, but that's a way you can always avoid the rain and the weather and signal problems with the app. Grab the app, put it on your phone, get some headphones, no matter where. Like today, I was mowing the yard on the riding mower.
Farm.
On the riding mower, just listening. Just listening to my heart's content while I mowed on the app. It's a beautiful thing. So get it.
Thing is, besides the weather, we've had people messing with our signal recently. The best thing you can do to avoid all of that, which kind of interrupts your listening pleasure, is to do exactly what Barry said. ESPN975.com and get the app that way and or listen live on the internet. But once you get that app, you're golden because even in the Golden Triangle, you can just run it through your Bluetooth and through your car and everything else and take us everywhere. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a very good thing.
I like it.
So, I guess to put the bow on the whole CP3 thing, though, Doc Rivers got a little upset last night because everybody said it was Austin Rivers and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan that didn't like Chris Paul anyway, and he had to go. And he basically got testy and then said in no uncertain terms, this was Chris Paul telling them that he wanted to play with James Harden and that that's unfortunate and that it bothers him the way he's leaving. But at the same time, they did what they had to do and got something for him before he just walked.
You believe him?
I think there's a little spilled milk in there.
I think so.
I think, look, anytime you have that kind of family situation in a professional setting, whether intentional or not, whether truth or just perceived, it's going to be an issue. Players are going to see, especially other point guards and other guards are going to say, Austin's getting more playing time than me because his dad's in charge. They re-signed him, and a lot of people thought they overpaid for him. And a lot of people are going to say that's because daddy's in charge. But when you hear the rumblings and people confirming sources that are players and or people around the team saying that it had run its course, that Chris Paul was at odds with guys and that guys were at odds with Chris Paul and that Chris Paul wasn't real happy with Doc or Austin, with rumors, there's always a little bit of truth, I think.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in where there's smoke, there's fire. You know what I mean? And it's like, it's the same thing when people tell you, you know, you ever had somebody mess with you or say something mean? And then you're like, dude, what the hell? And they're like, I'm just joking. There's always a little bit of truth in that joke. You know what
Especially
I mean?
Especially on social media. But yeah,
There's always a little bit of truth or animosity in it. I have a feeling it's kind of the same thing here. Like, no. You know, it's the thing to say is, oh, we love that guy. But I mean, we're not sad he's gone, but we love that guy. All right.
I'm sure Chris Paul indirectly, if he didn't say it directly to Doc Rivers, indirectly kind of called him out about showing favoritism to his son. There's just no way. As a point guard, the starting point guard, and your backup is Austin Rivers, like, you got to say something.
For all the hype, Austin Rivers has been nothing short of straight garbage for the majority of his career.
His numbers only went up when what's-his-name got injured, when Chris Paul got injured.
He has definitely benefited from nepotism. There is no doubt.
And the thing is that one of the things that they're reporting, too, was that Chris Paul, when he was hurt, said at midseason, said Austin Rivers should start, and Doc wouldn't do that because he was afraid that it would show him up. So Chris Paul was even mad about that. I mean, look, the biggest thing we're going to have to deal with is you go to a locker room without a true leader, except for maybe Pat Beverly in terms of his heart determination and kind of his fire, but not overall leadership. Now you're going to have one of the most dominating leaders in an NBA locker room that's in the league today or maybe since Kobe. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. That's why I said it's going to take some time to get this whole feeling out process kind of smoothed over. In the meantime, Tim McMahon in Dallas from ESPN reporting the Mavericks have traded Jared Uthoff, who's another non-guaranteed deal, to the Rockets for cash considerations. Mm-hmm. That leads you to believe they're not done.
Did you see the Portland Trailblazers tweet out their
it was fantastic.
Their cash considerations tweets? And then fans started tweeting a jersey. It was a double zero, and it just had considerations on where the name goes. Yes. But yeah, cash considerations was great. They had a presser.
Yep.
They just had cash on the table.
A bag of cash on the table.
They had his basketball reference page where his Twitter handle was the U.S. Treasury.
Yep.
It was good.
Absolutely fantastic. And that's the beauty about the Twitter accounts and the social media handles for pro teams now. They're getting more and more creative. Again, shout out to my man, Chad Shanks, who got the Ziggy unfairly and way too soon, because that was a guy that got it. He had the personality and he had the quick wit to be able to do things. But that's what you're seeing is the trend in professional sports now, where Twitter accounts take shots at the other team's Twitter account or poke fun, and they go back and forth, and it makes it more entertaining. It makes you want to follow them instead of just the straight news or the blowing smoke up your rear end about how great their team is, was, or could be.
Have some fun with it.
No question. Somebody
texted a picture to the show with it's kind of an old school, I guess it's an old school Clint Capella picture, and he's holding up a sign that just says "More lobs." Oh, they're coming.
Yep, just make sure Capella's on the roster by opening day.
Well, that would be critical to him getting more lobs, but they're definitely coming. If you thought there was some Lob City, this might be Lob City 2.0. With Harden and Chris Paul on the same team.
And if you look at Tyson Chandler when they were in New Orleans, and you look at DeAndre Jordan when they were in L.A., Chris Paul can make big men a lot of money and allow them to score a lot of points just by his passing ability above the rim.
Yeah, no doubt. There's a fascinating article I just tweeted out about the Astros rainbow jersey that we can discuss. Because they talk about a ton of facts that you may not have known about the jersey. But you had mentioned earlier after they wore them that these were one of your favorites, right? The rainbow jerseys?
Yep.
So it was Paul Lucas who did it. So I'll tweet it out, but you guys should check this out. They talk about who designed it, what it was for, the prototypes. They even show a hat, the original hat that was a part of the prototype. Oh, it's so badass.
Which, by the way, I saw a rainbow hat at Dick's Sporting Goods, but it wasn't a fitted one, and so I didn't buy it. But that rainbow cap looked like really good.
You've
like,
always been a fan of rainbow.
This one has an A. Look, this one has an old school A on it with the rainbows.
Oh,
that
wow.
was the original that came with the prototype. Go check it out. I tweeted it out, the link to the article, and we can talk about it if you guys want.
We're wearing our jerseys next week,
it's
Nick?
Badass. What?
Are we wearing our
I'm not here?
Yeah.
Because I'm off Monday and Wednesday, so you guys feel free to wear whatever the hell you want. If you do it while I'm here, though, just know I'm probably throwing pig blood on you.
Let's do it Thursday.
Let's
while
do
I'm
it.
Here.
Yeah. You know what? And the thing that always, throwing by the way, before we get to you, that, Joel. Before we roll on, I know we got to get out. But the one thing that still bothers me is I like the old font style on the rainbow jersey, that just the word Astros. I look at the Astros jerseys now, and I love the color scheme, and I love all the things they got going, but it just seems like almost grade school, the lettering on the front of the jersey. I wish it had...
No, I don't.
That just that simple block. It looks like anybody could have done it. It doesn't have any... There's no character to it.
It's clean.
You can still make it clean, but use the font style that's associated with your team.
Well, the font styles have changed, though, because when you look at the Astros, the golden navy, that was that slanted italic font with
a bigger block
or whatever. It's just, I like it. I think it's nice and clean, and it doesn't distract from the beauty of the orangeness.
Shocking, we disagree.
I mean, it's just a preference. You guys don't like it.
It doesn't mean we disagree. We just have different preferences. I think it's clean, it's like, but you would prefer, because you like you that from the rainbow it. Jersey, right? Like the bigger block letters that they had in the Astros.
Yeah. I mean, I think that just that font style alone was like the initial Astros that kind of signified that's the franchise. The one they use now, it doesn't have any kind of characteristics, any little, you know, kind of in the font, a little swoop here or something there that says, oh, like the Rockets. The Rockets font has the the points on the ends and things like that that make Houston and Rockets, that's their font style. They created that.
Yeah.
I just wish there would have been more personalization of a font instead of just using the blocks. But mm-hmm. otherwise, I love the uniform.
All right. And one that I didn't mention, and I actually saw the shirt the other day, but that Shooting Star Astros from like the 60s.
The one that Eschenfelter loved.
It's a badass. I have the shirt that has that. I need to wear it one day. Yeah. Maybe I'll wear it Thursday when you guys wear your jerseys.
That'd be great. We could all, and then we could just all skip to my Lou to, oh, the Astros.
Rahil's wearing an Aoki jersey. Did you see it?
He's wearing a jersey today?
An Aoki jersey?
Somebody go get me some pig blood.
Yeah.
I'm throwing it on him.
Astros jersey.
All right, guys. I want to tell you about my new favorite place to eat in Houston, Texas. It's called Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. It's located at 1901 Taft in Midtown, and you're going to love this place. I promise you. It's a fusion of both Southern comfort food and Indian food, and you need to go check it out. And I'll be honest. I've told you guys since I started talking about this place. When I went there, I was a bit skeptical. I had only had Indian food one time. I didn't know if I was going to like it because I didn't like it the one time I had it. I absolutely loved it. That is no joke. That's the honest truth. And it's not just me. I had friends that once I went there and posted some pictures, they were like, oh, we didn't know this place existed. They went and tried it. They loved it too, and so will you. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. They have a ton of fusion favorites that you're going to love. They're known for having the best buttered chicken in Houston, but they have a ton of other things. The non-quesadillas we had the other day, so good. They have a Himalayan heat burger. That's my new thing now. That's like a must-try burger in Houston. Go get that Himalayan heat burger. They have wings, sliders. If you don't feel like chicken curry, get the chicken fried steak. All of it delicious. All authentic Indian food. They're family recipes. In fact, Haas was saying that he makes this killer lamb vindaloo. That's his grandma's recipe that he let me try. Absolutely amazing. They have a full service bar you can enjoy and sit back and watch the game. And if you don't want to go, if you don't want to get off the couch, you can order Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, have it delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub. Again, they're located at 1901 Taft. You can get more information on Facebook at CNI713. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world with Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it. And when you go out there, guys, tell Haas and Imran Barry said hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, and Joel, Usual Suspects till 4. We continue to roll on. Brad Peacock on the mound on a matinee day for your Houston Astros. Congrats to the Peacock family on the birth of their baby son, I believe, and picking up where he left off, still scoreless.
Yeah,
he hadn't given up a hit yet, so that's good.
We have a we're big in the meter reading community here. We've done shout outs before, so we got this text. It's a bit lengthy, but I think it's a good question that might spur some conversation. So at work this morning, I got approached by a crackhead attempting to fight me for following him. He said I was on his street earlier. Now I'm over here where he is. Well, being a meter reader, it's basically my job to go down the street and in people's yards. To wrap the story up, I didn't get out of the truck to whip his ass, although I would have loved to get in my morning stress reliever, but I need my job. But he called me the N-word multiple times. I'm white. Should I be offended? Or should I have just whooped his ass and claimed self-defense because he threatened me with his umbrella? I have few rules in my life because I'm a maverick. But one of my rules is never fight a crackhead. Like, that's just a rule.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would have just.
You
got the W, homie.
Remember, they'll bleed on you. You don't want crackhead blood all over you.
Yeah, it's that, and I know it's a fine. I've been there. It's a fine line because you do want that kind of get out of jail free opportunity to unleash, but yeah, you got to be careful.
First of all,
you're a grown-ass man with a job.
When
I can't believe anybody applies for that job anyway.
Meter reader?
Yeah, all you do is get chased by dogs and shot at and stuff. Why would you want to do that job?
I can tell you that they pissed me off when I lived in Midtown because my meter was behind my bushes, and without asking me, Barry, which you could probably relate to, without asking me, they started breaking the bushes, and like they just did their own way of like
Getting to it,
and busted a whole bunch of the bushes, and they were neatly groomed and everything like that. And I had a big hole in the middle of my bushes, and I called. I was so livid.
I tell you what,
you cannot let strange men in your bush.
Get a hole in your bush caused by another dude, and I'm angry. I am.
So it wasn't
super
elevated
mad.
Anymore. You couldn't.
No elevated bush. There's a big hole in it. Just like a big mowed up.
And I'm not saying knock the bottom out of it. I'm saying just put a hole in it. That's what I'm saying.
It probably looks so ugly too.
But yeah, it was really. And it was face the street.
Don't fight a crackhead. Number one. Don't fight homeless dudes or crackheads. Number two, I wouldn't worry about him calling you the N-word. I mean, that's kind of like a badge of honor, really.
It's just,
you know what I mean? Like, when black dudes call me the N-word, it makes me feel important. You know what I mean? I feel like I've made it. That's the truth. Like, you don't, hey, that's fine.
It's also street vocab, too. I mean, that's,
yeah.
You know.
I wouldn't be, but no, don't fight crackheads. Don't do that. It's not good.
Like I said, you're a grown-ass man with a job.
Yeah.
You're probably two steps above him already.
You know what I've noticed, though, about crackheads? Like, there are neighborhood crackheads that only the neighborhood people can mess with. Like, if you mess with a crackhead that's a neighborhood crackhead, you've got to fight the whole neighborhood. Like,
how
that's
do you
a
know
thing.
That? What do you mean?
Well, I'll give you an example.
Not on the farm, Nick.
So, my wife and I were at her mom's, and we went to Popeye's to get some chicken. And there was a crackhead in there. And we're standing in line, and he was like, "Hey, man, can I have some chicken?" And I was like, "We haven't even ordered yet, dude." And he was like, I know, but let me just get some chicken." And I was like, "No, dude, we're ordering for a family thing, and then we're gone. I'm not buying you any chicken." And then there was this lady in line behind us, and he was like, "Say, little mama, can I get some chicken?" And she was like, "Urkel, if you don't get the hell away from me." I was like, "Oh my God, first of all, this crackhead's name is Urkel." But his pants were real high. Okay. So like, I get why he was like, but he was basically the neighborhood crackhead. Like, people knew this dude. And this is true. People know the neighborhood crackhead. She was like, "Urkel, if you don't leave me the hell alone." And he was like, "Oh, I'm sorry." Like, Miss Mary or whatever her name was. She was like, "Go outside and I'll buy you some chicken." Because then she got mad at me, though. She was like, "You know, you could have just told him, you know, you would have bought him something. He would have left you alone." Then she got like started getting mad at me because I just told him, "Man, no, I'm not buying you the chicken. Leave me alone." And that's when I realized, like, it's kind of like that little brother syndrome, right? Like, I can pick on my little brother, but no one else can. That's the same thing. You don't mess with the neighborhood crackhead if you're not from the neighborhood.
That's hilarious.
I got in trouble for yelling at the crackhead by Miss Mary. She was like, "You could have been nice. He ain't right." But she bought him some. She brought him some chicken and took it outside, and he left me alone when we left too. So
we were the same way.
Learned my lesson.
I think I told you guys this, but our townhouse in Midtown was across the street from. They have different names for them, Dewdrop Inn, but it's basically like inexpensive rent for guys that either get a cot, or if you want to pay a little bit more, you get like a small room, and it's, you know, air conditioned, heated, there's a shower, there's laundry that you can pay for. But literally across the street, there was probably, I asked one time, up to 100 cots in that building. But we got to know some of them. And for all their shortcomings and all they might be a little off, they protected our house. They told us when our garage door was open, we gave them food and we had extra food, or when we, you know, got leftovers from a takeout restaurant or whatever. I gave them, like, you know, instead of clothes and stuff like that, and they were loyal. And look, we knew what they were doing, and we just, you know, that's something that you can't stop. That's none of my business. But whenever they were around me or Lisa or the dogs at the time, they were great. So, I mean, you can my neighbors all made a conscious effort to try, because otherwise, think of the alternative. If you piss them off and you get in a bad situation, now you got up to 100 guys where they can just start getting guys to start doing stuff to your house or when you're not around or they see you leave. So, yeah, I mean, we tried to be positive about it. But you're right. I mean, in the neighborhood, it was weird because each house kind of adopted certain guys and they knew them by name. And we might not know that guy's name, but we knew the guys that where we were friends with.
Yeah.
And it was cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you leave your windows open in the fall. And you could hear, because we had a bus stop right by, you could hear the cops, you know, stopping them going, "This is the fourth time this month that you've made me come on a call because you are knee-deep in purple drank or, you know, something else." Or what was it? What's the synthetic marijuana?
Kush.
Kush, yeah.
Jose said, "That's so funny. Your crackhead story is so true. I grew up in the hood." You don't mess with the neighborhood crackhead. That's just, you don't do that.
I don't mess with any crackheads. I just,
unless you're from the neighborhood.
Unless then they sucker free. Punch you, then you can mess with them all free. You want.
Deck him in his face.
Dang right. Just don't get the blood
Who
on
got
you.
Sucker punched by a crackhead?
I don't know.
I didn't get sucker punched by a crackhead, but I got sucker
punched. I mean, I knew you got sucker punched, but I didn't think it was a crackhead that did it.
Yeah. Let's be real, Nick. Whoever did it is a coward.
He is.
So he's a crackhead. I decided.
By the way, someone said you have to make your meter accessible. That's why they tore up your bushes.
Yeah, well, why don't you ring the doorbell and tell me so that we can do it?
It's not his job.
Civilly.
He's not a doorbell ringer. He's a meter reader.
I would have been too. Forget that. I'm cutting up my bushes.
I would have been so pissed. I mean, leave a note, right?
Like, right.
Hey, bro, next time clean up the bushes for me. You're violating some sort of rule.
Right?
Yeah. Probably would have left another note that would have said, oh, deal with it.
No.
But at least you would have known why there was a hole in your bush.
Yes. And on that note, one in the books, two to go, plenty more show. So if you want to fill in the holes, why don't you give us a call or give us a text, 713-780-3776. Or if you want to hit us up on Twitter, we are always following our Twitter feeds as well. We're the usual suspects, ESPN 97. Let's do it.